Psalm 23, the Bible says here, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, we are grateful again to open Your Word and grateful again to hear You meet with us and speak with us here today. Lord, I do pray now that You fill me with Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, You use me. I pray You give me Your words to speak clearly on the truth from here in Your Word here today. Lord, and we'll give You the glory for what You do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Psalm 22, 23, 24, they form a trilogy. A trilogy is a series, a sequence, or a cycle. These three psalms operate in a series to describe our life in Jesus Christ from salvation until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to receive us unto Himself. Psalm 22, as I can mention, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, but that describes Jesus Christ as the Savior of all mankind, dying on the cross of Calvary and being gloriously resurrected 3 days later. And the thing was, as David penned that psalm 1,000 years before crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. And here in Psalm 23, this describes Jesus Christ as the shepherd leading His sheep. It is in this small psalm, these little six verses, that we find Jesus Christ watching over us, caring for us. And who knows, it may be not until we get to heaven one day where God reveals all that He's done for us, all that He has kept us from, all that He has protected us from, and all the evil He's kept us away from. But now Psalm 24, we'll look at that here sometime in the future. But Psalm 24 describes Jesus Christ as the sovereign King, ruling over His people, but also as the soon coming King. That is our blessed hope. The blessed hope is the return of Jesus Christ. When He comes, all trials, all tribulations, all troubles will be over. You understand that? Not until He comes will they be over. Until then, there will be tribulation. But now Psalm 23, here our text, was written by David. And David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. David was a shepherd in his youth, and it's even accounted that he fought a lion and a bear in defense of his sheep. But here, Psalm 23, next to John 3:16, is probably one of the best known and probably most loved passages of the Scriptures in the Word of God. Great 19th century preacher, Charles Spurgeon, you may have heard of him, but he used to call this the pearl of the Psalms. So it is a psalm people turn to in time of need. Right? In difficult times, people will often turn here to Psalm 23, often read as scripture in a funeral, okay? To give comfort, to give peace, to give hope. The portrayal here of God as the good shepherd, right, who cares for His people, is a great revelation of who God is. It shows His character, not that He's just a creator and has left us to be and to wander into the mess that we're in. No, God is the great shepherd who watches over His flock. The Almighty God, the Creator of all things, cares for you and I. He loves you and I just like sheep, all right? Just like sheep. And He has a plan for each one of our lives as well. So we're going to look here at Psalm 23, and we'll give you some truths here out of Psalm 23. Number one, I want you to see that, hey, the Lord, He provides. want you to see, first of all, that the Lord, He provides. In verses 1 through 3, we see here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now the very theme here of Psalm 23 is revealed right here in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. You get that? The Lord is my shepherd. He's not a distant, far off, unreachable deity. He's not some force that we can't come to. This is Jehovah God. This is the self-existent one. He is the covenant-keeping God. He is the creator of all things. That's the God of the Bible that we're talking about here. All right, if you notice there in verse number 1, the word Lord, L-O-R-D, it's in all capitalized. It's all caps, meaning that's Jehovah God. That's His name. It means Jehovah God. He is the one who spoke the world into existence. It is that same God who shepherds us and provides for us. He is our provider. He is our provider. Here David makes a very declarative statement here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. You get that? He is my shepherd. He doesn't not say if He is the shepherd or if He is my shepherd. No, He says He is my shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You see, we talked a lot about that this morning, okay? But Jesus says He's the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You see, as a born-again child of God, we need to be dependent on the provider. We need to rely on the Heavenly Father for everything, at all times. The good times, the bad times, the mountaintops, the valleys. Get this, the Lord is my shepherd. That's encouraging. Why? Because life is full of troubles. Life is full of trials. Can you agree with me on that? Life is full of storms that come into our life. And one minute it may seem like we're not in a storm, but the very next second we are going through a storm. Life is full of storms, and that's the way it's going to be here on this earth. But when we acknowledge the Lord as my shepherd, when we acknowledge Him as my provider, we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. We rely on Him. We trust Him. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. So if you turn over to Genesis chapter 22, if we're going to talk about faith, who better to talk about faith than Abraham, right? Here in Genesis chapter number 22, Abraham, we know, was a man of faith, but he didn't get that way without trusting God. He had to trust the provider. He had to trust God. And we see here in Genesis 22 that even though that Abraham faced this test with God, through it, God revealed Himself to him. And He reveals Himself to us here today. And I'm going to show you some things here. First off, let's just start here. Genesis 22 verses 1 and 2. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of thee. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine being told to take your only son, the son that you love, your only son, and offer him up as a sacrifice? You know, I'm reminded of the similarity, you know, as far as God, you know, to give up His only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary for all of us. Okay, but here God tempts Abraham. He's tempting His love, His obedience. He's not trying to harm Abraham, but He's trying to grow him. He's trying to grow him through this circumstance here. And I want you to know that God allows trials into our life not to break us. He doesn't want us broken, and He doesn't want us left for nothing. He wants to teach us something in that trial. He wants to grow us. He wants to reveal what's in us and bring us closer to Him. So when a trial comes, what's inside will come out. So I ask you, whenever you're tried, whenever you're in a storm, when you're squeezed, what comes out? What comes out? Abraham didn't complain here. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't quit. He didn't say, you know, this Christianity thing, it's just too much for me to handle. I can't do this anymore. I quit. No, he didn't. He didn't make excuses. In verse 5, look at verse 5. He says there at the end of that verse, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You see that? He had faith. Abraham had faith. Abraham believed God would either provide some other kind of sacrifice or he might even raise up Isaac again. But he believed that. And you go here in verse 7 and 8, it says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Father, I see all these things, the wood, the fire, but where is the lamb? But get this, what Abraham says. He says, And Abraham said, My son, God will what? Provide. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And if you know, I haven't got time to read every verse, but you know what happens. They go and he's about to offer up his son Isaac. All right. He's about to offer him up. Abraham's faith is put in action here. And even though Abraham doesn't know what's going to happen, he goes through with it. And in verse 13 and 14, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket. Right? God had provided. God had provided. But what I want you to see is in verse 14. All right? Verse 14, it says, And Abraham called the name of that place, I want you to underline that, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. God provided a substitute that day. That ram caught in that thicket there. God provided that ram. And it's a picture of how God provided for us Jesus Christ. He provided Jesus Christ, our substitute, our sacrifice there. Hey, look. The point of the story is this as well. God's provisions are going to be found in obedience. When we're obedient, you see, that's all Abraham was. Abraham was just being obedient to the Word of God. He was just obeying Him. He walked by faith. Point is this, if you're in a trial, keep trusting God. Keep walking by faith. If you're going through a storm, keep obeying the Word of God. Don't quit reading the Word of God. Don't quit praying. Don't quit coming to church. Those are all things you got to draw nigh to. Okay? Abraham stuck to the Word of God. He didn't question it. He wasn't wishy-washy in what God said. He kept it to the T. He was obedient. In John 10:27, the Bible says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. As long as we are following Him, we are under His care. We are under His protection. He is going to provide. He will provide. If you would, hold your place here, but flip over to Psalm... we're not coming back to Genesis, so just turn over to Psalm 34. Look over here in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, look at verse number 10. It says here that the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see, the Lord will provide. He will provide. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We could go over to Philippians 4:19, and it says, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches by Christ Jesus. Hey, when we rely on God as our shepherd, when we rely on Him, when we walk by faith, when we trust Him, hey, all of our worries, we don't got to worry about. All of our cares, we don't have to care about. The Lord will provide. How many of you today are worried about the future? You're uncertain. You're unsure about your future. Maybe there's bills. Maybe there's provisions that need to take place. The economy, the jobs, whatever the case might be. Well, how many of us are so wrapped up in that we miss the fact of just being obedient to God and allowing Him to provide for us? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. In our text there, he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So my point is this. When you're going through that storm or whatever it is, just be reminded that the Lord is my shepherd. He is the provider. Number two, we'll see here that He protects. So if you get back there in Psalm 23, we'll see that that the Lord is the protector. He will protect. He says here in verse number 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Now it is possible, very possible, that this afternoon we might go into a valley. Somebody here might go into a valley. Valleys are usually unannounced. They come unexpectedly. It could be that next phone call. It could be that next text message. It could just be right around that corner. We turn that corner and we plunge into a dark valley. But notice here, David does not say if, but though. You see, valleys are not optional. Everybody goes through them. Nobody is omitted from it. It is not an optional thing. Everybody goes through it. Job said it like this in Job 14:1. He says, Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's us. That's you and I. That's mankind. Because we know for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And Jesus said in John 16:33, In the world ye shall have tribulation. Not you might. Not like it might be possible. No, ye shall. It's going to happen. If you live in this world, we are going to face tribulation. But if you know the Lord, He is a provider, yes, but He is also a protector. He protects. Now, the valley of the shadow of death is actually a real place. It's a real thing, and David is familiar with it. Okay, he's familiar with it because, remember, he was a shepherd. This valley that we're talking about was full of dangerous predators, and people would hide out in these crevices and rob people, and there'd also be different types of predator animals in there who would hide in there and pounce on these sheep that came through. And the shepherds would call this place the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Right? So basically what we're saying here is we should expect valleys. We should expect valleys, and don't be surprised if you're suffering one. Don't be surprised. One minute everything's going great, but the next minute, hey, the phone rings, the knock at the door, suddenly something happens. Life is not easy, but if you, in Psalm 34, verse 19, the Bible says, Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You get that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Right? Just because we're saved, you're saved, does not mean you're not going to suffer. If you read the book, you read the Bible, hey, Jesus died on the cross, the crucifixion. All right? All the apostles died violent deaths. They were martyred. All right? All of Christianity, all down the line, suffered persecution. You know, they suffered great affliction. And just because we think that we're saved, that we're free from all these trials and errors, that's not the way it is. We still have trials and errors. The lost person, the saved person, but the saved person knows that God is the protector. He's going to bring him through. He says, Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. That's Psalm 34:19. It's great verse there, but did you notice that he says, Many are the afflictions, but the Lord brings us through all of them. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. If we trust Him, we're obedient to Him just like Abraham was. Abraham brought him through. God will bring us through. Hey, let me give you another verse. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you," right? It speaks here of grace, and it speaks of glory. But He also says, after you suffer for a little while. We're all going to suffer for a little while. But do you trust God? Is your faith in God? Do you trust Him to protect us? He's going to bring us through it. Someone once said this. They said, God only had one son without sin, but He's not had any son without sorrow. None without sorrow. None. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hey, you know what else is interesting about a shadow? Another interesting thought about a shadow is for every shadow, there must be a light. You got to have a light. You can't have a shadow unless you have a light. And what do you know about the light in the Bible? Jesus is the light, right? Jesus is the light. He says, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is that light. Even in that dark valley, Jesus is the light. Keep your eyes on the light. Don't turn to the darkness. Turn to the light. Just like Peter got out of the boat in that storm and he's walking on water, right? All the while he's looking up at Jesus. The moment he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sank, right? Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Trust Him. He is our protector. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't look to the darkness. Many, remember that, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of all of them. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Okay, it's just for a moment. All right? That's why it's so sad you have these people who commit suicide, right? A bad thing has come upon them and they make a permanent a solution to probably a temporary problem. Okay? It's a sad thing. He says here in 2 Corinthians 4:17 again, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Maybe somebody here is going through a dark valley right now. If not, you will be. But maybe somebody's right in that midst of it right now and they're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this valley. I don't know what I'm going to do in this valley. Life has just gotten a turn on me, and it just seems so hard right now. This grief I'm going through, the loss I'm going through, the sickness that I'm going through, these trials, it's like the devil keeps bringing them one on one on one on one after another after another. But what do I need to do? Remember, He provides. He protects. He promises He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So do you draw your courage from Him? Do you draw your strength from the Lord? Do you draw your comfort from Him? Whatever you're going through today, wherever you're at today, it's not the end of the world. Psalm 27:1, flip over there. Psalm 27, we looked at this psalm as well a while back, but this is a great psalm as well. And just look at Psalm 27:1, right, for encourage that God will provide. It says here in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He saved your soul. Do you think that He's not worthy of anything else after that? Is He not able to provide? Is He not able to protect? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Get that. Whom shall I fear? Trials, storms, all these things that come against me, the world that comes against me. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. That's what we need to rely on. He will provide. He will give you strength. He is the strength. He is the strength of my life. And He says again, of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Ain't you glad that we serve a risen Savior, a God who loves all people? He provides for us. He protects us. And thirdly, He prepares. He prepares for us. in verse number 5, Psalm 23, verse 5, he says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, talking about enemies here, we have three enemies in this life. Three enemies. We have the world. The world is the system that is contrary to God's Word and to God's will and everything out there that's contrary to God's Word. It is led by Satan. Satan is behind all of that. Satan is the prince of this world, but he's already been defeated on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ already defeated him, and his time is short. His time is coming to an end really quick-like. But also, not only the world, but the flesh. The flesh. Now think about that. The flesh is our enemy, yes. Because even though we are saved, we have the new nature. God made us new creatures. You know what we still have in there is this flesh. That old man's still in there. Okay, that's why we're constantly reminded in the book to be filled with the Spirit, not the flesh. Okay, but that flesh will drive us to do things. Hey, this is good. This looks good. Hey, this feels good. Do this, do that, right? This flesh wants to drive us into sin and do all those things that we used to do. That is that sinful nature of man that tempts us to sin. But also there's the devil, right? So we have the world, the flesh, and the devil. Three enemies of this world, right? The devil, we know, is Satan, the enemy of God. And he prowls around this world, this earth, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And who does he devour? He devours that weak Christian. That weak one who's not in church, that weak one who's not in the Word, that weak one that is not filled with the Spirit, but is filled with the flesh. He's an easy attack, an easy pounce, an easy attack, an easy meal. Just like that lion going about to get a meal, right? He's looking for that weak one. Who's the weak one? But Jesus says this. He says if you truly follow Jesus in this world, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have enemies. And Jesus had enemies. Everywhere he went, he had enemies. But if we didn't have enemies, we wouldn't be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So flip over to John 15. I'll give you a reminder here on what Jesus says about this here. In John chapter 15, look here in verses 18 through 20. In John chapter 15, verse number 18 says, If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, get this, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see, everything that we do according to God's Word is contrary to the devil, and it's contrary to the Word of God, and it's contrary to God. And so the world doesn't like it. The world is opposed to it. Why? Because the world, the father, is the devil. Okay? But he goes on here, verse 20. He says, Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. And so basically what we need to do is realize if we don't have enemies and we're doing what the Lord says we're to do, we need to check out why don't we have enemies. If we're going in all the world and preaching the gospel and we're standing firm on thus saith the Lord and we're living a separate life, a holy life, unto the Lord, we're living separated out of this world. He says, I've chosen you out of the world. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Right? If that's not going on, right, then we need to look at who are we living for? If people are not opposing us, if this world is not opposing us, who are we living for? And hey, let me ask you this. Who are we following? If you say we love Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. Very simple, very straightforward, right? But it's the reality is it's all right there. If you love Jesus Christ, do you keep his commandments? The Bible warns us that we are going to face trials, tribulations. We're going to face enemies in this world because what we're doing is a spiritual thing. When we go out and we knock doors, we're doing it we don't want to do it in the flesh. We want to do it in the spirit because it's a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual battle, right? Going out there and preaching the gospel. It's a spiritual thing. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Hey, listen, when we go out, God is going to provide. God is going to, He is going to prepare for us. There's going to be battles that come, and there's going to be enemies that rise up, but He is going to provide. He will take care of us. He will strengthen us through His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hey, that God breathes, right? God breathes out His Word. If we're in His Word, it's going to nourish us. It's going to strengthen us. It's going to encourage us, right? When the devil comes at us, the Word of God is going to encourage us. But He's also going to empower us through His Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, remember, when you're saved, that Holy Spirit of God comes in. He indwells you. He is our power. He teaches us all things, right? He is going to empower us through the Spirit. Every time I get up here, I pray God will fill me with His Spirit because I want to be filled with His Spirit. I don't want to be filled with my flesh. I don't want any part of my flesh up here. I want it all to be the Spirit of God because you look around, everybody has different needs. I do not know your needs, but God does. And so if God can use me to direct through His Word, to speak to your heart, amen. Praise the Lord for that. And He can do that. Only God can do that. But He will also fill our cups overflowing with His love and His presence, even in the midst of those battles. He says there, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Is that not encouraging? Is that not encouraging? But here's the thing. I want you to get this. We got to stop trying to fight our own battles. Too many of us, guilty, right? We try to fight our own battles. I think I'm strong enough. I can take the devil on and fight him and do all these things. And I can battle this battle. I don't need any help. I can do this and I can do that. But we got to stop trying to fight all of our battles. Many of us are going through battles and we're failing. The battle is getting us. We're retreating because we're trying to fight every battle in our own strength. And that's not going to cut it. Some of these battles we're going down and we're going through, they're spiritual battles. Okay, they are spiritual battles and we can't do it. We got to let the Lord do it. In Exodus 15:3, the Bible says, "The Lord is a man of war." Think about that. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. We just need to let God handle those battles. Let God handle those enemies. Those enemies will come and go. We just need to get the victory. Let God take care of that. Let God fight that battle. Whatever it is, there's peace at the end. Abraham had great peace when God provided that ram. Hey, if you've been saved, you've been born again, you have great peace when you found Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can have that same great peace today if we just learn to trust Him. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Verse 4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do we do that? In those storms, in those trials, the Lord is my shepherd. He provides, He protects. But do we take Him up on that? Right? We got to remember, I got to decrease, and I must decrease, and He must increase. All right? Let Him fight those battles. Give it to Him. Turn it over to Him, and see what happens. Let me give you a fourth thing here today. We see here that the great shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and that we see here that He provides, yes, He protects, yes, He prepares, yes, but He also promises. Here in Psalm 23:6, He promises, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that not a great, glorious promise? Right there, the promise. He promises. I mean, think about it. The very Son of God, who is God, the Creator of all things, the Great Shepherd, the Door, all those things, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He became the Lamb of God. He became that Lamb for you and I. Why did He do that? So He could suffer the judgment that was due for us. He came and He was sin for us. Isaiah 53:5-6 says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. You see, that Lamb of God took it all on Him. All of my sin, all of your sin on the cross of Calvary that day, and He came to take away our sin, our sin debt. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ took on that. John 1:29 says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Talking about Jesus Christ here. He became that door. In John chapter 10, He gives us an example of that door. He says, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. See, there's a promise there. He becomes a door. You got to make that first step. Come to the door. You got to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, He came. He was the door. And He gave us another promise that there's a mansion in heaven. He tells us that in John chapter 14. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Remember that? He's going to the cross of Calvary to prepare a place for us. The promise. If He doesn't go to the cross, if He doesn't die, if He's not resurrected 3 days, hey, then He's not the Messiah. He had to go to that cross. Oh, the glorious promise that He gave us. But you know what? There's more promises. He gives us the promise that where we are, that we'll be with Him. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, He gives us a glimpse of the rapture. He says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Isn't that a great promise? One day, when the trumpets sound, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those dead that have gone before us, that were born again, saved, but they went on to glory before us, all over the world, wherever that body is, it's coming out of the grave. It doesn't matter if there's limbs missing or if it's turned back to dust. God is going to bring that body back to life, and He's going to raise it up. That's a glorious promise. And you know what else? The verse doesn't stop there. He gives us a promise here. He says in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a glorious promise. Hey, they're not going before us. Yeah, they went to heaven before us. But hey, on this day, on the rapture, when that trumpet sounds, they're coming up out of the graves. And we that are alive, we're going to be changed from this corruptible flesh to an incorruptible. We're going to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air, and we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Oh, that's a glorious, glorious promise. And you know what? It doesn't stop there. There's a whole lot more. Right? The Lord is going to shepherd us. He's going to feed us. In Revelation 7:17, the Bible says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto life, or unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. No more pain, no more suffering, no more trials, no more battling the flesh, no more battling the devil. Hey, how wonderful is it to be a sheep? How wonderful is it to have the Lord as my shepherd? God's goodness. God's goodness. His goodness and His mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So, hey, when you wake up in the morning, you should say, goodness and mercy are following me today. Goodness and mercy are following me today. Even if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, roll over to the right side of the bed and say, goodness and mercy are following me today. We need to live with that in mind. We need to live with eternity in mind. When life gets hard, remind ourselves, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. When those trials, those storms, this world is not my home. I've already got a mansion in heaven, just waiting to get there one day, right? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So let me ask you, though, is the Lord your shepherd? Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? He paid it all on the cross. He rose again the third day, just like He said He would. He paid it all. All you got to do is come to Him. He'll save you. He'll give you eternal life, everlasting life. He'll never take it away. And He gives you all these promises here in His Word. Is the Lord your shepherd? If He is, are you allowing Him to lead you? Are you allowing Him to lead you through the valleys, through the mountaintops? But yes, through the valleys as well. Are you allowing Him to lead you? Many of us here are on different paths, but are we allowing God to lead us in the right path? Has somebody here gotten off of the right path? Need to get back onto the right path. Have we given up on our slack on our Bible reading? Need to get back into our daily Bible reading. Have we slacked in our prayer time? Right, we need to get back in our prayer time. Get on the right track. Hey, have we slacked in our being faithful to the church? Being faithful to the services and their attendance, right? Hey, we need to get back in the game. Don't leave me on the sideline. Get me back in the game. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Hey, we just need to be willing to let the Lord lead us on the right way. Let's pray.